church.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Brothers and sisters, you know we are... Is this a little bit too loud? Or does it need to go down a little bit? Is it too loud to anyone out there? Please raise your hand if it's too loud. Okay, wonderful. Glory to God. I just want to say that it's always an honor to be able to teach God's flock. Jesus said to Peter three times in the book of John, the Gospel of John, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." So that's the testimony of anybody that teaches or preaches. They need to love and teach and feed God's sheep. If we're not doing it, then we're not obeying the command that God gives us through His Son Jesus by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through this book. So I just want to share with y'all that it is the highest honor, and I do not take it lightly whatsoever. So let us go to the Father in prayer right now as we begin to study in His inspired, immutable Word. Father in heaven, we praise You, we glorify You, we honor You, we love You, and we thank You, Father, for this day. We thank You for Your provisions, Father, Your blessings. We thank You especially for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We thank You for the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where all spiritual blessings lie in Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1:3. Father, we pray as we study Your Word, as we come together to hear the Word preached by Brother Eric, that hearts would be opened up to receive, Father, Your Word, and that it would produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. That we would be a light here for Dallas, Father, and in the rest of the state, an example here at Main Street, Father, that we are more noble than other places simply because we search the Scriptures after we're done and we study to see what is being preached. Father, it's not the preacher, it's Your Word that is inspired. So I just pray, Father, that Your Word goes forth as Your Word says, and it will not come back void. We love You and we praise You, and all God's children said, in Jesus' precious name. Today we're going to be studying the Gospel according to John. We're going to be doing a textual study, and a textual study is different than a topical study. Anybody know the difference between the two? Well, neither do I. No, I'm just kidding. What it is a textual study has to do with the text, such as the Gospel, such as the book of Ruth, such as the book of Genesis. That's a textual study. A topical study is something from that book, such as the resurrection and the life, such as the children in Israel traveling in the wilderness. That's a topical. So with that being said, you are all now qualified to enter any college of your choice and seek God's Word, because this is the only college that we really need, is seeking His Word on a daily basis. Let us look at the Gospel of John. Open up to the first Gospel of John, the only Gospel of John, right after Matthew, Mark, Luke. The Gospel of John, we'll begin reading chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life and is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. It apprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was not made by him, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his names, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Word of Almighty God, the inspired Word of Almighty God. Brothers, I just want to share with you, the Gospel of John was written specifically to show a side of Jesus which shows his deity, that he is the only begotten Son. He is God incarnate. He is the Word. So what I want us to glean out of God's Word today is if we can focus on the fact that it shows his divinity. No other book of all the religious documents in the world point to any of their religious leaders, of Buddha, of the Bhagavatas in Hinduism, or of Muhammad in Muslim, of the Muslim religion. Do they point to their prophet as being deity, Son of God, the one who is worshipped, the incarnation of Jesus, of God becoming Jesus? None of them do that. Only this book points out that Jesus is God incarnate here on the earth. Also, I want to share with you through the studying of his Word that Jesus expounded over and over again, leaving absolutely no doubt in any fair-minded person to the sonship and the divinity of the Lord and the Savior of the world. John was a Jew, which can be gleaned by his mentioning of the feast and adherence to the purity of the laws of the Jews. He was the one who we get the record chronologically. This is the only book in the of the Gospels that is in chronologically. It is set out chronologically so that we can glean the fact that Jesus preached for 3.5 to 4 years based upon the mention of 4 different Passovers. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that ye may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. There are 8 I Ams, a total of 9 I just gleaned out of the Word of God, out of the Gospel, Jesus proclaiming I am. Jesus proclaims I am in the Bible, in the Gospel, 9 different times. He first says, I am the bread of life, and that's in John 6:35. He says, I am the light of the world. That is in chapter 8:12. Jesus says, I am the gate, the door. That is in 10:9 of John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10:1-21. The resurrection and the life, Jesus said. That's in chapter 11:25-26. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No man cometh unto God the Father but through me, Jesus is stating that he is the way, he is the truth, and the life. No other prophet of any other religion stated these truths that are stated. He said, I am the vine. And then in 15:5, and then he said, before Abraham was, I am, 8:58. And then one that I just came upon on studying the Gospel is, he also said, I am he. And does anybody know where he said, I am he? That's in the 18th chapter of John, verse 6. He said that when they came to arrest him. They came with a throng of Jewish guards and also Roman guards to arrest them. And Jesus, they asked, Jesus said, whom do you look for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And when he said that, they all fell down. They all fell down before him. That's because he is deity. He is the Son of God. How much more, brothers and sisters, when we get together in our prayer closet, when we meet with God, when we come together as the living stones, we are the living stones right here. It's not this building, brothers and sisters. God has provided this building for us so that we could meet, we could be away from the elements and be comfortable. But we are the living stones. We make up the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. So I just want to emphasize that we are the temple of God. And when we gather together, then the Bible says that Jesus states, where two or three are gathered together, there he is in our midst. So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? Is Jesus here right now? Yes, he is. If we want to believe the word, the holy inspired word of God, that this book contains the mind of God, contains a plan of salvation, contains all that we need to live a life victorious in this life, to have long life, to have a life free of a lot of circumstances, if we bury our nose in this book, if we put Jesus Christ first. Jesus said in the sixth chapter of Matthew, 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things shall be added unto us, church? If we read the few verses before that, what are some of the things that will be added unto us? What are some of them? Tell me one, John. What is blessings? We'll have blessings. And what type of blessings? He says that we won't have to be concerned about food, raiment, or clothing, right? Those things we won't even have to be concerned about. If just imagine this. Just try to focus on this for a minute with me, brothers and sisters. If we focused on the fact that this is true, that God is the Christ, that this word is immutable, that this is the mind of God. And if he says that if we seek him first, we're not going to have to worry about food, clothing, or shelter. How much of a headache, how much worry would that take off of our minds? Tremendous amount, correct? So, brothers and sisters, when's the last time that we really said, okay, God, I'm going to dedicate my whole life, my whole being to you? Jesus said that in Matthew, he also stated that if we love God and we do not love our brothers and sisters, we are a liar. And the love of the Father does not dwell in us. So, brothers and sisters, he says if we can't love our brothers whom we can look out and see, how on earth can we love God who we do not see? So, my brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you. That's what I am supposed to be about as a preacher, teacher of God's word, is to encourage you to get into God's word, to apply his word, so that we can receive the multiple blessings that God has for us in his word. I want to encourage you to do this. And there's nothing more important than that, is to us to have a relationship with God and studying his word daily. Another reason the gospel is written of John is to produce faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 30, verses 30 to 31, chapter 1 is what we're in. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in him." Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No other prophet spoke as this man. Number one, the number one is Jesus said, "I am the way." He's the way from being lost to finding true direction in life. He is the truth to deliver us from our ignorance. And then he is life to deliver us from mortality into life eternal, if we come to him in the designated way that Scripture prescribes. John 20, verse 31, states that believing we might have life in his name. The gospel is to encourage us to have faith in Jesus Christ. John begins with the introduction, as we just read, in verses 1 through 18, in which Jesus makes several claims in the text. John makes several claims. He refers to Jesus in this introduction as the Word. And he refers to Jesus all through this entire gospel. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1. And God spoke. That is the Word. That is the second person of the Trinity. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the faces of the waters. That's the Spirit. At the very first chapter of Genesis, it opens up stating, in the beginning, God. The word is Elohim in the Hebrew, meaning plurality. So three people are designated in there: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The first claim in that pertains to the preexistence of Christ, that he existed in the beginning long before being born in a manger, being born in the trough, being born in Bethlehem. John 1, 1 through 2 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was with God, he is God, and he has always been part of the triune God. He became a man, came here to earth to save us, to redeem us from the punishment that would come because of our sin nature, because of our rebellion. He, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. John 1, 3 to 5 says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, comprehended it not. Evidence for the preexistence of Christ was foretold by the prophets. There are 37 miracles. I strongly suggest read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. We're going to find out exactly what Jesus is like and exactly what we should be like. We should be imitators of Jesus Christ. This word is so important to read that Isaiah said in 48 that the grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of God, it lasts forever. John 21, 25 says that Jesus did many other things that are not written in this gospel. And if every one of them were to be written down, he supposes that all the books in the world could not contain all the miracles that Jesus did. No one did the miracles of Jesus. None of the other religious leaders in the world, dear ones, ever were prompted to have themselves worshiped. But Jesus accepted worship. Why? Because he is divine. He is the Son of God. He is worthy of our praise. Let us look in the book of Micah. In Hebrew, it's called Micah. We say it in English, Micah. Okay, do you know what that name means? It means, who is like God? Which one of us want to be like God? I want to be like God. I know y'all want to be like God. That's why you're here right now, is to become more like God. This should just be the, you know when you go to a restaurant, you order appetizers, that's not the main course, is it? That's just what you eat prior to having the main course. This coming to church on Sunday, when we fellowship and encourage one another, and we partake of the Lord's Supper to remind us of what Jesus Christ did, then what we do is we get ourselves focused for the whole week so that we can do our ultimate best to live for Christ for the whole week until we meet again. But this is just not the entrees, this is just the appetizers. And when we go home, then let's get into the main course. Studying God's word one-on-one. God will bless you if we meet with him privately, if we study his word privately, if we pray privately, if we fast privately with no one else knowing. The word says that God, who sees in secret, will reward us openly. So my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to get into this word, to get into the meat of the word. This is the main course, and right now as we meet here, look at it as an appetizer. And it's never, ever the person that is speaking. What is really imperative is that the word of God is being taught. that you hear the word. I want to give you some encouragements. If you can bring a little notepad next time, because a study has been done. A study has been done on remembering things. And the way our brain works is this, is that we remember things that we write down at a greater capacity. And the things that we hear, we only retain 40%. So 60% is going to go out. And I don't know much about that in regards to the psychology of that and a neural, you know, there's classes in neuropsychology. And guess what? I didn't take any notes. So therefore, guess what? I don't know anything about it. So the importance about it is really there's four areas in our brain that there's many areas, but these four specifics are the emotional part, the hearing, the vocal, and speaking part. So if we put all those together and we write it down, we're going to retain much more. So I just recommend just writing down the verse, and then you go home and check the verse. God will bless you immensely. Okay, let us look at Isaiah 9:6. See, there was over 353 prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus, and their prophets spoke before he was born, hundreds, thousands of years before he was born. Micah in 5:2 was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And listen to what it says here. Bethlehem, Ephratah, house of bread is what Bethlehem means. Ephratah means fertility. It means the fruit of the word. So imagine this. Jesus is in the house of the Lord, born in the house of bread. Jesus is the word, is the bread of life. And then he was born in Ephratah, and that means fertility. So life. Isn't that awesome? Jesus born in the house of bread. The bread of life is born in the house of bread. And the one that who gives life is born in Ephratah, Bethlehem, Ephratah. Thou, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, who's going forth from old and of old from everlasting. The word Israel means that God may prevail. He changed Jacob's name from surplanter, the one who takes, the one who steals. We know all you have to do is read about in Genesis about the surplanter. And he changed his name to be the one who prevailed. Remember, he wrestled all night long with Jesus. And I mean, with the angel of the Lord, who many say is a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ. But he wrestled all night long. And would not let Jesus go. He would not let God go. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you to wrestle all night long, all day long, any time you get wrestle with God, so that you can latch on to heaven and you can latch on to the promises that God has for each and every one of you. Each and every one. God wants to transform you all into disciples. He wants you all to be up here. He wants you to be able to go to your neighbors. He wants you to be able to go to your friends and your loved ones. He wants you to go into Dallas, and he wants you to duplicate, be an imitator of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Zechariah, also another promise, another prophecy foretold. Zechariah 2, 10 through 11. And Zechariah's name means that Yahweh, the Lord, has remembered. And yes, do we not want God to remember us? Yes, then we must be into his word, brothers and sisters. We must be praying him. We must be seeking him. James says, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. Zechariah wrote about 520 B.C., 500 years before Christ was born. Miraculous. No one else has these prophecies. No other book, the book of the Muslims, the book of the Quran, the Bhagavatas of the Hindu religion, nor the books of the Eastern religions and Buddhism. Zechariah 2, 10 through 11. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for I, lo, come and dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Jesus fulfilled 353 prophecies. I want to just let you just try to grasp this. Just to fulfill eight prophecies, just 8 of them for one man, the possibility of that ever happening is 10 to the 17th power. That's, imagine a 1 with 17 zeros after it. That's the probability of somebody. It would be like getting the state of Texas, filling it up 2 feet deep with dollars, and then throwing $1 in there, mixing it up, and somebody blindfolded going in there and picking it. Only Jesus could possibly do this because he's the Son of God, because he fulfilled every prophecy that's in this book, proves the fact that he is the Son of God. I want to share with you that to fulfill 353 prophecies, the biggest number that I know of is called a Googleplex. That number has 153 zeros after it. There's not even a number assigned to somebody that could fulfill 353 prophecies, except that God, his Son, Jesus the Christ, the miraculous, he fulfilled them all. 353. I want to share this with you, that one in 10 people read the Bible every day. Let us be more noble here in Main Street, more noble than all the other places around. Like Paul said in the 11th chapter, verse 17, the 11th chapter, he said that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they searched the scripture. And you know who was preaching to them? Paul the apostle. Paul, who had the Holy Spirit upon him in a way, a miraculous way, that only the 12 had the Holy Spirit so that they could raise people from the dead. They could lay hands on people and heal them instantaneously because God needed to have his autographs perfectly rendered to all of the world. So only 1 in 10 read the Bible every day. Let us be like the Thessalonians and be like the, not like the Thessalonians, but like the Bereans. Search the scriptures daily to see who's preaching, if it lines up with God's scripture. Do you know 1 in 2 people in the entire world eat every day? The fact is the birth and the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are celebrated worldwide by every folk, every race, language, and color every year. And believing in Jesus, they have been delivered from the most disastrous, frustrating, somebody help me with that word. I can't say it. It's D-E-B-L-I-T-A-N. Debilitating. Thank you very much. Debilitating. Thank you. Debilitating diseases, of habits and life forms possible. The real problem with Jesus is not that folks can't believe in him, but they won't believe in him. It's a choice. People do not want to believe in Jesus Christ because they have to give up certain things. Let us not be like that, church. Let us give everything up for Jesus Christ. For he is worthy. He is so worthy. He died for you and me, died the most horrific death that anybody can possibly imagine. He went through all of that for you and me. Can we not at least live for him? John 1:11, he came to his own and his own received him not. What are the chances that we have not been altogether objective about the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus is God. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. John 3:16, for, say it with me, brothers and sisters, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that glory to God, should not perish. So, brothers and sisters, he gave his Son for us. So let us, please, let us put God first in everything that we do. Jesus affirmed by himself that he was deity, that he was the Son of God. John 8:56 through 58. Your father Abraham, the word Abraham means father of many nations, Abraham, and rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. Whenever you hear this word, verily, verily, that is mentioned 48 times in the Gospel of John. Brothers and sisters, that is a statement that Jesus is saying this. This thought originates in me. I am the originator of what I'm about to tell you. It does not come from anyone else but me. That's because he's deity. So when you see the statement, brothers and sisters, adhere onto that. 48 times, I challenge you to find them in the book of God, in the Gospel of John. This statement has its birth in Jesus Christ. Before Abraham was, I am. In the Hebrew, Eya, Asher, Eya. I am he who is, who was, who always has been, who will always be here. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. That statement that Jesus quoted, that's why they picked up rocks to hit him, because he said in the Hebrew language, the Aramaic, Eye, Asher, Eye. That was a word that those scribes and Pharisees knew because they memorized the whole entire Tanakh, the whole entire 39 books from Genesis to Malachi. So he was making a claim of deity, Jesus the Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In his prayer shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, John 17:4-5, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. Oh, now, O Father, glorify thou with me thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world that was. I have finished the work which you gave to me. Are we about our Father's work today, brothers and sisters? Don't we want to enter into the kingdom saying, I have finished the race. I have completed the work you have given me. I forsook all for you, Jesus. Won't that be a wonderful statement, brothers and sisters? We need to come to Jesus and just resolve everything and leave it behind us and put Jesus Christ first, brothers and sisters. And then, guess what? All those things that he states prior to verse 633 in Matthew will be added to us. Many blessings. And let us not even think about the blessings that happen hereafter. 1 Corinthians 2:9 states that eye hath not seen, ear heard, nor can mind possibly imagine the things that God has for those that love him. We can't even imagine it, brothers and sisters. I see all those grins on your face. You're just thinking about how wonderful that is going to be. It's going to be beyond our human understanding. So, brothers and sisters, please let me challenge you to get in the book daily. First, start out in the book, the Gospel of John. Please, just try reading that verse so we grasp that the divinity of our Savior, that he is the creator of the universe, the creator of everything. He is the supplier of everything. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to get us from being lost. He is the truth to deliver us from our ignorance. He is the life. Jesus is the life to give us immortality. Brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you and I love you. And you know why I love you? Because the Bible tells me so. It tells me to do that. And if I do not love you, I cannot love God. So I am trying to love you with all my heart, mind, and soul. So then, guess what? It'll trickle and it'll get to God. If I love you, and then I will love God. So brothers and sisters, let us love one another. Let us be a beacon here in Dallas, Texas. Let us be a beacon to all the other churches. Let us be more noble than those other churches and be like the Bereans. Can I get an amen on that, brothers and sisters? Wonderful. Now, I didn't even get through half of that lesson, and there's the other half. Glory to God. I just want to share with y'all that if you have any questions right now, can anybody tell me what's one of the most important things to do every day? Somebody just shout it out. What's the most important thing that we should be doing today? Praying. Praying's a good one. And what goes along with praying? reading the Word of God, and the Word of God will make us have some great prayers because we'll be reciting back God's Word. And then He'll be transforming us. Be ye imitators of God. So that's what we want to do, is we want to be imitators of God. So brothers and sisters, any other questions that you'd like to address? If not, let us go to the Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we glorify You. We honor You, Father. We praise You, Father. We lift You up. We are thankful to be on hallowed ground. We are thankful to be able to read Your Word. The reason this is hallowed ground is because two or three are gathered together. There You, Jesus, are in our midst. And Father, if we're reading Your Word, we're on hallowed ground because we are reading the inspired, immutable Word of God that transforms individuals into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we just praise You and glorify You for today. We thank You for the word that's going to come forth from Brother Eric. Father in heaven, we pray that hearts would be touched and that we remember You when we have, Father, when we partake of Your bread, we remember what You paid for us to do that, Father, and then that we would look forward to the rest of the week so we can gather back together, we can glorify You, we can praise You, Father, and we can be encouraged to do a better work for You and for Your kingdom. We can be lights, as You have stated. We can be the light of the world, Father, that allow His light to shine through us. We love You and we praise You in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, the rose of Sharon, the author and finisher of our faith, and all God's people enthusiastically said, Amen.